May your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our eyes. O God, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
While beginning to study the scripture for today, I found myself simultaneously drawn to the very, very old story of Joseph and his brothers, a compelling saga that is still gripping today. And the words of Paul to the community of early Christians in Rome, read by David. I would like to briefly look at these texts and see how they intersect with our lives today. The story of Joseph, told again and again in different forms in our culture, including in Psalm 105 we read this morning, is meant to be taken into our lives as a relatable tale, telling something about God's activity over time. And at the time it was written down, it was already well-repeated oral history, with the text being drawn from at least two sources. And you can see differences in the text origin. For example, in the bit that we read today, two different brothers were named as advocating for the saving of Joseph. And there are other details that indicate that there were other sources. This story is so gripping because it deals with things that are familiar to all of us. Sibling rivalry, the desire for recognition, the impulse for revenge, and the need to follow our call, even if at points it sets us at odds with our community. But what is so hopeful about this whole story is not only Joseph's overcoming of adversity, but the reunion many, many years later through Joseph's persistence in the hand of God between Joseph, his brothers, and the father, who was sure that Joseph had died. In the end, through at times unimaginable hardship for all of them, reconciliation and redemption are found. The letter from Paul, on the other hand, is of the moment. It's immediately relevant and important for the early Christians in Rome to hear. What we read is written not generations after the events, but in that moment of a real and highly charged social atmosphere. Paul is keenly aware of the dangers that the Roman Christians were facing, and he is concerned above all with the nature of their faith and hope in Jesus Christ. Through his feeling of urgency, Paul takes on the question of the relationship between the law, the Jewish order of religious life, and this newly emerging faith in Jesus Christ. There is continuity and there is change. In the chapter that we read, Paul is addressing both Jews and Gentiles who were members of that Roman Christian community. And his ability to unpack and persuade through his letters is incredible. And his letters continue to be some of the most cited passages of Scripture. Here, through asking questions and citing wisdom of earlier writings, Paul uses Greek techniques that were common in oratory. But Paul also leans heavily on scripture, including the passage around which this chapter, which is a quote from Deuteronomy, one of the books in the Old Testament. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. He also later quotes Isaiah by saying, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Paul is urging the Roman Christians not only to believe at this really perilous time, but to risk proclaiming their belief. This is at the core of their Christian purpose. In this passage, Paul sets Jesus in the context of the Jewish faith through using scripture. And in so doing, he's adding on another level of meaning to those quoted texts. And that layering of meaning would have been familiar to Jewish Christians, as with the words of those earlier scriptural witnesses. The ongoing study and reflection on scripture is an important practice in Judaism called hesher, where it's understood that scripture can be read on multiple levels and that a fuller understanding of its meaning grows out of its interpretation over time. And this still applies to us now, where in hearing or reading God's word and in taking it into our lives and pondering its relevance, we ourselves add depth to its meaning. Paul is wrestling with the question of the emerging Christian faith as related to moving beyond the Judaism that it came out of. In a way, Jesus completes or fulfills the commandments and the law. However, the commandments and the law continue to be vital, but salvation is communicated through faith in Jesus and then acted upon and relayed through the word. In both the story of Joseph with his brother and in Paul's speech to the Romans, or his letter to the Romans, on life as a Christian, the risks of speaking the word are really present. Joseph is hated by his brothers for being their father's favorite. And the Roman Christians face real threats to their lives for their beliefs. Joseph's early response to his father, "Here I am," parallels the prophet Samuel's later response to God and indicates a willingness to be called. That Joseph responds to without plan or guile. He willingly follows his brothers to report back to his father. Joseph does not try to hide what he sees of the truth, his brothers failing to be good shepherds, although his social and interpersonal judgments could be questioned. And in this portion of the chapter that was omitted from our reading this morning, it came right in the middle. Remember the brothers call him a dreamer. The part in the chapter where Joseph tells his dreams was omitted. In those dreams, Joseph dreams of wheat sheaves. He's standing, wheat sheaves. He's one of the wheat sheaves. All the other wheat sheaves are bending towards him, bowing to him. And then he has another dream of heavenly bodies bowing to him. And we know that dreams in scripture are seen as communications from God. And similar dreams help Joseph later when he interprets them for Pharaoh in Egypt. As a youth, he tells these dreams to his brothers without considering the consequences or questioning his apparent calling to be different from his brothers. There are costs to Joseph's innocent clarity of purpose. When Joseph tells his brothers his dreams, they know he is exceptional and they want to do away with him. Joseph almost loses his life, and he loses his family and his homeland, and is condemned to hardship and slavery after he is sold down to Egypt through traitors by his brothers. But that same ability, that same gift and calling by God, was instrumental in saving not only Joseph, but his brothers' lives and the generations of Israel when he rescued the entire family from famine later in life. So, because of course his 11 brothers are all the 12 of them together are the fathers of the tribes of Israel. The story of Joseph in so many ways is like the later story of Jesus. Called by God, he is set apart from others who are angry at his exceptionality and the threat to their status. But despite risk to himself, Joseph continues to follow God's call, and in the end seems almost to rise from death. And he functions as the savior for the ancestors of the nations of Israel, God's chosen ones, and the 12 tribes of Israel who were Jacob's sons. Jacob and Israel, by the way, those names are to change. Because when Jacob was called, he was wrestled with God, he was renamed it. The courage and innocent persistence of Joseph are very moving. He speaks and he acts from God without any concern for the outcomes. Paul, too, values above all else following God's call. He urges his fellow Christians to stay true to their call, to hold to their beliefs in the risen word, But more than that, to declare, to proclaim with their mouths the power of that salvation. Paul's letter to the Romans, read today, is a galvanizing cry, call to all of us to proclaim God's word for ourselves. So what does evangelism look like in the year 2026? I see the challenge lying in our current culture-wide fixation on how awful the world is. I believe we are all prone to this. Our hope is challenged every day, and each of us has personal and familial challenges that further threaten our belief in the coming of God's kingdom on the earth. Discovering that, as Paul quotes, the word is very near, gives me hope. Reading and thinking already about Scripture helps me find those deeper levels of meaning. And that method in Judaism of reading Scripture and understanding it through different lenses over time works for all of us. The activity of taking Scripture deeply into ourselves to understand it anew is really important work. All three of our readings today, including the gospel, which I'm not really addressing, describe situations that are terrifying and where the faith of individuals is really put to the test. For Joseph, in his many travails from near death by his brothers to slavery in Egypt. For the fishermen in the boat, the disciples in the raging storm. And for Peter, who almost sinks as he begins to doubt, facing the raging water. And finally, for those early Christians in Rome whose faith is laid against risks every day. But this refining fire of the challenges in our lives makes our faith more alive and more compelling. St. Paul certainly understood radical transformation through crisis, challenge, and being turned around by God's call. Finding the word in our mouth or on our lips can be as simple as speaking a hope or the love that we feel to someone else, a stranger, a friend, or a family member. Not getting lost in the abyss, the deep that Peter tries to cross in reaching for Jesus when he steps onto the water, or in the despair of challenges in our lives. But in holding on to the conviction of the love of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's together sing about